And it's got 13 verses, and tonight we're going to look at the devices of evil men. The devices of evil men. What do we do in a world full of violence, in a world full of danger, in a world that we have enemies in? What do we do whenever there is evil all around us? We've got some things that we can do, and a God that we can trust in, even though that there is evil in this world, and even though that there is violence in this world. And that was David's solution. David didn't have any kind of psychological training or anything like that where he could give you some kind of real deep advice from a psychologist or something like that. He just said, "I have a great God," and that was what he trusted in. And we as Christians, that's what we ought to trust in, ought to be in the Lord. The devices of evil men. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your blessings toward us. We're thankful that we can be here this evening. Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading of your word tonight and the preaching of your word. I pray that you would deal with the hearts of each and every one of us this evening. I pray that you'd speak to hearts. Do what only you can do. I pray that, God, that the word of God, that your word, and that the Lord Jesus Christ would be sufficient for us tonight, and you would feed us with your word. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 140, and he says, this is a psalm of David. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart continually. They are gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adders, poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hit a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked, further not his device, lest they exalt themselves, Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into the deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence." Here David is surrounded by wickedness. He's surrounded by violence. He's surrounded by people who are trying to overthrow him either as king or as a man or something like that. But he is definitely dealing with something that's very dangerous, people who are very dangerous, who don't like him, who hate him. And he's asking for God to restrain the evil that is coming up against him. And God can do that. God can restrain evil in this earth. And that's the only reason that we haven't all killed ourselves yet, is because of the restraining hand of God. And there's David, and he's looking at the devices of evil men, and I kind of thought about that myself. We look all around ourselves. We turn on the news. We read news on our smartphones or whatever, however we get our news. And we see a bunch of violence. We see a bunch of wickedness. We see a bunch of evil that's happening in the United States of America and abroad, all over the world. And we look at this and I'm kind of dumbfounded about why these things are happening. I understand that evil resides in the heart of people, but man, there's a lot of violence, and man, there's a lot of wickedness. And we look at people who defy God, and they defy His Word, and they really don't care about what God has to say, and they just live their lives as though they're their own boss and they're their own God, and they just act like nothing is sacred anymore. Nothing is sacred. I mean, you know, marriage is not sacred anymore. You know, it's a free-for-all. Just whatever you can do, just whatever. It's not even sacred anymore. Not even surprised by it. We ought to be surprised by it, but it's not anymore. You think a church house would be a place where you'd find some kind of solace or some kind of some kind of protection, but it's not even sacred anymore either. People don't really care. Violence all around. It kind of reminds me of the days of Noah. The Bible says that the imaginations of man's heart was evil from his youth, and that's all there was violence in the earth. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that when Jesus Christ comes back, that it will be like it was in the days of Noah. And things are getting worse and worse and worse, and violence is getting worse. And here's David, and he's having to face some violence. He's having to face some danger in his life. And he's looking all around, and we look at the evil men and their devices. He says that they are violent men in verse number 1, meaning they want to cause physical or psychological harm to David in some way. We notice the steps of violence and sin that happens in a person's life. Whenever sin comes out in a person, it first resides in their heart. And that's what he says there in verse number 2. He says that their hearts are evil. They want to do these things. They want to harm him. They want to take over his kingdom. They want to do these things. And that's what happens to people. Evil resides in our hearts. We want to do bad things. And those desires are there. And that's the problem with our country and with the world, is it's the evil that resides in people's hearts. It's not on the outside. It comes from the inside. And Jesus Christ said that's where it all comes from. Fornications, adulteries, murders, thefts. It all resides in right there in the human heart. And David is speaking the same thing. He says, man, they devise evil in their hearts, and they're coming against me. And then it comes out in their mouth. In verse number 3, it says, they sharpened their tongues. So they desire to do this mischief, and they imagine it in their minds. And then it comes out in their mouth. They start talking about it, and they start bragging about it, and they start saying the things that they've been thinking. And that's what happens with people. It's got to find some kind of outlet somewhere in the human life or the human light or the human body. You start thinking about it in your heart, and you mull it over, and you think about it. And then you just got to start talking about it. And the words come out. And they speak openly about their plans, and they threaten, and they brag. They do all of these things. And then finally, they carry out these things with their hands. We see that in verse number 4. The next step is to start performing those actions. You think about it, you talk about it, then you do it. Commit those evil things. And then we see their purpose in verse number 4. They have evil designs against David to overthrow him. They want to set a trap or snare or cords or a net or something like that in verse number 5. And we see why they want to do all these things, their mindset. Why do they do these things? Well, evil in their heart, but it all stems from a mindset of pride. In verse number 5, he says they have pride in their hearts. And they rise up against David and they rise up against authority. They want to overtake David's kingdom. And that's what people on the earth want to do. Pride is in their hearts, and they want to be their own God, and so they defy God, and they defy His word, and they go against God because they got pride in their heart, and they resent God telling them what to do, and they want to do their own thing. It comes out in their lives. So David has enemies, and he's had enemies all of his life, but they have hatred towards him, pride, and they want to commit violence against him. David was a man of God. The Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Yet all these things were coming against David. I'd like to tell you here this evening that God's people will encounter conflict in this world. You can count on it because all of us have enemies. And our enemy, of course, is three things. It's the flesh, the world, and the devil. But the devil is going to come against you. If you're God's child here this evening, the devil is going to come against you, and he's not your friend. He wants to destroy your family. He wants to destroy your marriage. He wants to destroy your children. He wants to destroy your faith in God. He wants to destroy your purity. He wants to rob from you. He wants to take from you. He's not your friend. And we're going to encounter those kind of conflicts in this world. Evil exists. You'd have to be blind and you'd have to be ignorant to think that evil does not exist in this world. And so all of the evil stems from the devil, and the devil has a people upon this earth. And he's the king over all the children of pride. Those that exalt themselves against God and against the knowledge of God are being led by the devil. And that's who it is. He's got his own little church. He's got his own little followers. He's got his own little gospel. He's got his own little Messiah. He's got his own little Christ. He's got his own church. And they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. And so they're always fighting against God's people and against God's plan. Let me tell you something here this evening. God is not going to, or excuse me, the devil is not going to overthrow God's plans. He's not going to thwart God's plans. He's not more powerful than God. God is going to win in the end. Righteousness is going to win in the end. Evil is going to be defeated in the end. Sin is going to be defeated. It's going to be punished in the end. But boy, we sure do have to contend with it right now, don't we? Read about it on the news all the time. So what do we do now that we live in a world that is violent and evil and we have an enemy, the devil, who comes up against us? What do we do when we encounter all of this? Well, there's a way that we can entrust ourselves to the Lord and to God. I'll give you three ways we can entrust ourselves to the Lord here tonight in the midst of an evil world. Number one is prayer to God. Number two, we entrust ourselves under His protection. And then number three, we have a God who pleads our case. We have a God who stands up for us. We have a God who is our advocate. He cares about His children. Number one, it's prayer to God. When we are faced with evil, we must pray, ladies and gentlemen. That's the first thing that David did. He acknowledges all the evil in the world. He acknowledges his enemies that are against him. And the first thing that he does is he prays to God. In verse number 6, he says, "I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God." Boy, that's a simple statement, but it's also a profound statement. Because David is saying, look, I'm not God, you're God. I'm the creature and you're God, so therefore I have to go to you. You're more powerful than me, and I'm going to you. And whenever we encounter danger, we encounter violence in this world or our enemy, we must go to God because He's God and we're not. We don't pray to ourselves. We don't go to another human being. We don't go to the priest and confess our sins. No, we have a God that we can go to, and the way is made plain and clear through our Lord Jesus Christ. So God has the power to save and deliver. And God has the authority to do with David as He pleases. God can do whatever He wants to do. And by the way, God can do whatever He wants to with the wicked as well, because He's God and we're not God. He is the maker of all things and He is the God of all people. And He can do whatever He wants to do, so we can pray. David acknowledges that God first, because God, from God comes all goodness and all righteousness and all power and all protection. And that's his first line of defense. He goes to God. He said in Psalm chapter 16 and verse number 2, he said, "O my soul, thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my Lord." Boy, when he got into trouble, he says, man, you're my Lord, you're my God, and you're the one that I can go to. You know what else he said? "My goodness extendeth not unto thee." He said, my goodness doesn't do anything for you, Lord. I don't add anything to you, God. Because you're just that great and you're just that good. You ever ponder that for a moment? We don't add nothing to the Lord. Not one single iota of anything we don't add to the Lord. We don't have any goodness that we can add to God at all. But we can go to God in prayer. And He listens to us. And the reason that we pray to God is because we are not God. And He is the sustainer and He is the provider. I want you to know how David is praying. He's praying with supplication. What is supplication? Supplication is asking or begging God for something earnestly or humbly. That's the way that he's praying. He's going to God and he's saying, God, in our vernacular, he's saying, God, I'm begging you. I'm begging you, God. And he's earnest whenever he's praying. It's a humble request, but it's an earnest request, and he's praying to God. There's many times that God's people have come to God in prayer, and they have been earnest. And they have been begging to God with supplication. Boy, they may have committed some kind of heinous sin or something like that, and they're coming to God in repentance, but they're coming with some supplication, and they're coming with some begging. Maybe they needed some help, or maybe they needed some kind of deliverance from something, but they were coming to God and they were asking God in supplication. In the New Testament, we are called and required of God to come to God in prayer to Him with supplication, making requests to Him. Well, I'd like to tell you tonight that many times my prayer life, it just falls short. I'm not earnest enough with God many times. I don't give God enough supplication when I come to Him. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6, it says, "Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." God says, "Hey man, I want you to be earnest when you come to me." But many times we're just kind of ho-hum. We just kind of go to God and we're just kind of repeating something many times. Well, I know that I'm guilty of that. We're not earnest enough when we come to God. But David is coming to God and he's saying, "I'm giving you some supplication." The Bible commands us to persevere in prayer for other saints. In Ephesians chapter number 6 and verse number 18, he says, "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with perseverance and supplication for all saints." The Apostle Paul says, hey, you need to pray for other saints with supplication. Can I tell you here tonight that I want your prayers? I want you to pray for me. I need your prayers. And I'm going to pray for you as well. And everyone in this room, as a church family, you ought to be praying for each and every one of us. You know why? Because we have an enemy. And he's against us. And he wants to steal our faith. He wants to steal our joy. And we need to be praying for one another because, hey man, life's rough. Life's tough. Christian life is not some kind of cakewalk. It's hard. You get discouraged. You get depressed. Sometimes you might want to walk away. Sometimes you might want to throw up your hands and quit. Sometimes you might not want to be faithful to God. I'm not some kind of super saint standing up here. Hey, I get discouraged too. We all need to be praying for one another. He says, persevering in prayer for all saints, for everyone. Why? Because we need one another in supplication. You and I are going to face evil in this life, but let me tell you something. Hey, we got a great God. We got a great God, and we can pray to Him. E.M. Bounds, he's a great man of prayer, said, "Prayer is God's plan to supply man's great and continuous need with God's great and continuous abundance." That's God's plan right there, is prayer. God doesn't need us to pray to Him. God could do whatever He wants to do. God can give us whatever He wants to give to us, but that is God's ordained plan and purpose for supplying our needs is through prayer. And He's not going to supply needs without prayer because He said so. Because He said so, not because I said so. And He requires us to pray, not because He needs us to pray to Him, but because He said so. And that's the way. He says that's the only way. So temptations are going to come our way. Are you watching in prayer as the disciples were commanded by our Lord Jesus Christ? When we pray, it's a display of faith. We're saying, hey, God, man, I trust you. I trust you. When we pray, it's a display of our concern for others. We show our concern. When we pray, it's a display of our repentance and a desire to change. That's what it is. And David's saying, man, I'm in a bind right here and I'm praying to God. Do you pray this evening? I know that we can all do better. I know that we can. But David prayed because he desired some protection from the Lord. And that's the second way that we can entrust ourselves to God, is by trusting in His protection. He says in verse number 7, "O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle." Boy, you know, David was a soldier. David was a warrior. He went out and he fought. He fought against the enemy. He knew how to shoot a bow. He knew how to shoot an arrow. He knew how to sling a sword. He knew how to fight. He'd go out there in his chariot, and he needed some protection from God because he had some enemies, and they had designs on his life. I bet you David never went out without a helmet on his head. I bet he always wore a helmet. And he says, "God, you have covered my head in the day of battle." He knew when he went out, he better have a helmet on his head, but he knew something else. He knew that God was above that helmet, protecting his head. And he says, I'm entrusting you to, myself to you, God, because you are the protector of my life. What about you here this evening? Is God the protector of your head? Are you trusting in God to protect your head? Would you go out into battle without a helmet on your head? I don't think that we ought to do that. I was looking up some helmets that they use now in the Army, and some of you military guys can probably tell me about this. I've never wore a military helmet before. Man, those things are tough, though. They made some new ones out of ultra-high molecular weight polythene, something like that. I can't even pronounce the name. Boy, they're supposed to be some durable stuff. You know why they wear those? Because they don't want a head wound. Because if you get a head wound, chances are you're probably not going to survive, and you're not going to be able to run away from the enemy or do anything else. You're just going to have to die. Boy, the helmet is the most important thing that you have that you can wear if you're a soldier, I think. I'm not a soldier in the Army, but that's pretty important, I do believe. And if I go out to the battlefield and I'm going to fight against somebody, I'm not going out in the battlefield without a helmet on. David said, you have protected my head. David wore a helmet and he had his head protected by arrows and swords and all kinds of things. But he knew that God was above that head protecting him as he went out. And he says, God, you are the protector of my head. How does God protect us? He gives us a helmet as well. Read in Ephesians chapter number 6. It says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. We have an armor of God that we can wear as Christian soldiers. And it's called the helmet of salvation. And he says to put it on. Now listen to me, ladies and gentlemen. We're saved here. We're saved tonight. But let me tell you something. You need to put on the armor of God every single day as salvation. You get up in the morning and say, hey, look, I am saved here this morning. I am a child of God, because you know why? The devil's going to shoot arrows into your mind saying, getting you to doubt your salvation. Say, you remember what you did yesterday? How you failed God? You're probably not saved anymore. Probably failed the grace of God again. Mercy of God's not there anymore. You better put on that helmet of salvation. Paul said, put it on every day. Hey, in a practical sense, you walk the line and you say, hey, I am a child of God and I am saved here today. Because it is God who is the one who is actually covering us in our lives. He is watching over our heads. Put on that helmet of salvation. He is our protector. How else does he protect us? The restraining hand of God. God restrains the evil that could come upon us in our lives. God has a restraining hand and he stops the evil that could come upon us. And David is praying to God and he's saying, look, God, I want you to restrain the evil that is coming against me and against my kingdom. You got the Holy Spirit of God who lives on the inside of you, and he convicts you and he guides you and he leads you and he keeps you from evil in your life. And I thank God for that. Boy, if the Holy Spirit of God was not inside of me, no telling what would have happened to me. We have the protection of God for us, and he restrains us from evil. God uses human instruments to restrain evil as well. That's why we have a government here in the United States and abroad. That's God's doing. It says in Romans chapter 13 and verse number 1, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. The powers that we have, that's why you ought to respect them and obey them, because God is the one who put those in charge. We have no business disrespecting our government. So we have protection from the Lord. Now we come to number 3. We entrust ourselves to God because he is there pleading our case. He says in verse number 12 and 13, he says, I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Hey, God is a just God, and he knows those who are weak and those who cannot represent themselves, and God maintains the right of the poor and the afflicted and the righteous. He's there. Do you have the righteousness of God here? This evening, are you saved here this evening? Can you go up to heaven right now and talk to God and plead your case before God? You can't do it. But I know that you have an advocate with the Father who can do it. I know that. So those who cannot represent themselves well, we have a representative, and God is the one who represents us. David says in Psalm chapter 9, verse number 4, he says, "When mine enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence, for thou hast maintained my right and my cause. Thou sittest in a throne judging rightly." God is a righteous judge. God stands up for his people. God stands up for his saints. And when evil comes and people accuse you of things, you have an advocate with the Father. You know who the prosecuting attorney is in the courts of heaven? It's the devil. The devil is the prosecuting attorney. He's called the accuser of the brethren. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8, "Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." And he goes before the courts of heaven and accuses the saints of God. That's what he does. We've been studying through the book of Job, and we see this displayed. Satan comes before God, and he says, "Hey, look at Job down there." God says, "Where you been, Satan?" He says, "Oh, I've been walking around up and down the earth, to and fro, up and down in it." God says, "Have you considered my servant Job? Look at him right there." You know what Job did? Started accusing. Saying, "Hey, the only reason that he's following you is because you're protecting him and you blessed his hands and you blessed his work. You're giving him all these kids. Take all those things away from you and he'll curse you to your face. He'll do it." What's he doing? He's accusing. Accusing. I love the answer that God gave back to Satan. He says, "Have you considered my servant Job? There's none like him in all the earth, perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." You know what he did? He stood up for Job. He didn't say, "Yeah, you're right. You're right." No, he stood up for him. He did it 2 times. Stood up for him. You know why we're still here? And why Satan can't bring any accusations against you? Because we have an advocate with the Father. Because God stands up for his people. Because God pleads their case. You know what happens whenever Satan goes up to the courtroom of heaven and starts accusing you before God and saying, "Hey, God, you see what they're doing down there? Did you see how he failed you? See that sin he just committed? See how unfaithful he's being? You see all that? Don't you think he deserves hell? Don't you just think he deserves some kind of punishment? What kind of God are you anyway? A terrible person." You know what God says? He says, "Have you considered my servant Jesus Christ? Have you considered what Jesus Christ did on the cross for my people? Have you considered the nail scars in his hands? Have you considered the nail scars in his feet? Have you considered the crown of thorns that he wore and the spitting and the shame that he suffered for my people?" He's not going to entertain accusations, not one single moment for his people. Not once. And David is saying right here, he's saying God sticks up for his people, because he's a just and a righteous judge, and he's got the grounds to do it, he's got the authority to do it, and he's got the power to do it. Who would not want to entrust their lives and their souls to a God like that? Who would not? So it's clear from the Word of God that yes, we have an enemy, that yes, evil exists in this world, and we're going to have to contend with that as long as we're alive, but we have a God that we can pray to. We have a God who protects us, and a God who pleads our case, and a God who will stand up for us, and a God who is greater than any man-made devices. And guess what? You know who's going to be winning in the end, and who's still going to be standing in the end, and who's going to overthrow all of those evil devices? You know who's going to do it? Jehovah, God. God the Father is going to do it. So this psalm is given to the people of God to give us comfort and hope in the midst of a dark and evil world. Because it's a reality, ladies and gentlemen. It's a reality. And the only hope and the only light that we have is the God of Jacob. It's the God of the Bible through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have somebody we can go to and we can pray. Someone who protects us. So let us trust him and entrust ourselves to him in all things. Let us not forget about him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you're a God who's good to us. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who's gracious to us. Lord, even in the midst of an ugly, evil, wicked world, Lord, you're a good God to us. Lord, thank you, Heavenly Father, for standing up for us, for taking care of us, for protecting us. Lord, I pray that you'd forgive us when we fail and we don't trust you like we ought to. But God, help us to entrust our lives and our souls to you. Thank you for being good to us. We love you and pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.